RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Indonesia warned the U.S. immigration policy to pose negative impact on the global effort to fight terrorism. Grab to make $700 million U.S. dollar investment. Now the news in detail. The spokesman of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, recreated the U.S. government on immigration policy. Earlier, the government of the U.S. under President Donald Trump has prohibited citizens from Muslim-majority countries, namely Syria, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, and Libya. At the press briefing held in Jakarta on Tuesday, he said that he appraised the U.S. policy, but he also regrets the policy as it may hamper global efforts to combat terrorism.
As we have stated before, we recognize that the issuance of this policy is the right and the sovereign right of the U.S. government. But nevertheless, we do express deep regret that the issuing of such order, such policy, because we believe that this will have a negative impact, particularly on our global fight against terrorism, and of course addressing the issue of a refugee.
Armanata further explained it is a mistake if the issue of radicalization and terrorism is associated with a particular religion, namely Islam. He views that one way to overcome international terrorism is to strengthen the cooperation with a number of countries. Thus, Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs keep improving cooperation with the new U.S. administration. Right-handling firm Grab Indonesia will make $700 million U.S. dollar investment, or around 9.1 trillion rupiah, in the next 4 years. The investment will focus on digital economy in Indonesia. Grab's group CEO and co-founder Anthony Tan said on Tuesday that the investment is set forth in the 2020 master plan titled Grab for Indonesia. He said that Grab is aiming to help Indonesia achieve the target of becoming the largest digital economy in Southeast Asia by 2020. Grab for Indonesia is part of Grab program to provide opportunities to Indonesians to make the shift to the digital economy. On the same occasion, Grab Indonesia Managing Director Rizky Kramadibrata said that the investment will be channeled to develop talents in technology, technopreneurs, and digital payment. He said around $100 million US dollar will be channeled to startups or entrepreneurs. It, however, will only invest in startups engaged in mobile service industry and technology in small towns, as well as Indonesian community who have yet to enjoy the benefits of a digital economy. The Australian budget airline Tigerair has permanently removed Bali from its travel routes effective immediately due to issue over regulatory approvals. The airline said in a statement on its website, Tiger Australia has cancelled several flights to Denpasar Bali at present following a decision by Indonesian government to impose new administrative requirements for the operation of its flights between Bali and Australia. The passengers who are stranded in Bali will be assisted by the airline and its parent company, Virgin. The airline has offered a full refund to its customers and has issued a statement apologizing to the passengers. The airline has had issues with the Indonesian authorities over the past few weeks on a number of issues. However, the Indonesian authorities have notified the airline that they must change to a new operating model, which could take up to 6 months to implement, according to the carrier. Indonesian state-owned port operator PT Pelabuhan Indonesia Pelindo 1 is accelerating the development of Kuala Tanjung Port in North Sumatra. Pelindo 1 President Director Bambang Eka Cahyana said that the construction of the multi-purpose terminal of Kuala Tanjung Port Phase 1 is 70% complete. He said on Tuesday in a written statement that Pelindo 1 will work hard to complete Kuala Tanjung Port on schedule. He explained that Kuala Tanjung Port development is key to improving Indonesian logistics sector due to its close proximity to Malacca Strait, the world's busiest trade route. He said the company is confident that the Minister of Transportation will name Kuala Tanjung as an international hub for container transport once the construction complete. Kuala Tanjung Port is expected to accommodate growing demands for general cargo and container, as well as improved flexibility on cargo services and growth of port through output.
That's Newsline from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello listeners, it's nice to see you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Telephone Disconnection Between President Donald Trump and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and the Impact on Diplomatic Relations. President of the United States Donald Trump attracts again the public attention and the media only a few days after he has been on duty at the White House. The mass media reported how Trump disconnected a telephone conversation with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. The talk was scheduled to last 1 hour, stopping at the minute of 25 when President Donald Trump suddenly hung up. The news, which was first reported by Washington Post newspaper, becomes world news immediately. Cable international television network CNN specifically discussed the incident. Previously, President Trump had talks with four other heads of government, namely Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President François Hollande, and Russian President Vladimir Putin. The sudden telephone disconnection becomes world spotlight because it's the first time for a U.S. president to hold such a communication model. In addition, the serious topic discussed was a refugee issue. As reported, both President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull discussed the cooperation on refugees resettlement. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull did not obtain a clear answer when asking whether the United States would continue the previous agreements to accommodate 1,250 refugees. In the agreement signed by former President Barack Obama, the United States said that it would accept 1,250 refugees who had been placed in Australia temporarily. Based on the question of the Australian Prime Minister, President Donald Trump said that the United States policy regarding the admission of refugees with Australia was a stupid decision. There are two questions related to the Canberra-Washington talks. The first one is about United States policy on refugees, and the second one is concerning with the bilateral relation between United States and Australia. Regarding the refugee issue, President Donald Trump has signed an exact order which brings about controversy due to the specified time to ban the entry of citizens from seven Islamic majority countries and not to accept refugees from anywhere for 4 months ahead. This policy poses controversy not only in the USA but also in some countries, as the Secretary General of the United Nations assessed that the decision is not right. The response of Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull brings about impact on diplomatic relations between the USA and Australia after the incident of the telephone disconnection. Australian government denied Trump and Turnbull talks heated up. Canberra diplomatically mentions the thought of the two leaders were very warm despite a meeting shorter than expected. Australia seems to hide this case and to wait further explanation about the refugee settlement agreements with Washington. In regard to this case, any countries that have diplomatic relations and cooperation with the United States need to get ready to anticipate the policy, communication style, and diplomacy of President Donald Trump. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to today's regular of Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Now we'll start from an event which occurred on February 3, 1915. Suez Canal was attacked by Germany. On February 3, 1915, in the era of the First World War, the Suez Canal, which then under the British rule, was attacked by Allied German and Ottoman. The strategic position of Suez Canal, which connects the Mediterranean Sea with the Red Sea, making this canal as a contention object between the Allies and the Axis. England, which was concerned about losing control over the Suez Canal because it would endanger the area's colonies in Asia, trying to maintain this canal desperately. Finally, the German and the Ottoman alliance forces defeated, and the canal then continued under British rule until 1956, when it was nationalized by Egypt's president at the time, Gamal Abdel Nasser. On February 3, 1931, Napier earthquake occurred in New Zealand. A national disaster resulted. Napier became one of the Art Deco cities purest in the world. On the morning of February 3, 1931, a major earthquake with 7.9 on the Richter scale rocked Hawke's Bay for more than 3 minutes. Nearly 260 were killed and most of the buildings in the commercial center of Napier were destroyed, either by the earthquake or the fire. The rebuilding began immediately and largely completed within 2 years. The new buildings reflect the architectural style of that era, such as the stripped classical style, Spanish mission, and Art Deco. On February 3, 1944, the U.S. forces invaded the Marshall Islands. On February 3, 1944, the U.S. troops invaded the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean. The islands, formerly under Japanese rule since 1914, in the World War I era. The Treaty of Versailles that ended the World War I established that the islands which were originally occupied by Germany, including the Marshall Islands, Carolina, and Mariana, should be handed over to Japan under the supervision of the League of Nations. However, Japan exited from the League of Nations in 1933 and made the islands as its military bases. During World War II, the islands have been targeted by the Allies, and finally on February 3, the Marshall Islands fall into the hands of the United States by expensing the lives of approximately 400 U.S. soldiers. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus, entitled Indonesian Government Prepares Equity-Based Economic Policy. The Indonesian government is currently preparing economic policies that promote equitable to reduce inequality between the rich and the poor. It was announced by Coordinating Minister for Economy, Darmin Nasution, after a limited cabinet meeting with President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Tuesday, January 31st. According to Darmin Nasution, the equity-based economic policy consists of several pillars in three principal areas, namely land-based policy, opportunity-based policy, and capacity-building-based policy of human resources. Land-based policies including agrarian reform, agriculture, farming, urban poor, fishermen, and seaweed farming. This policy is based on the fact that low-income people are basically not enough if only given the same opportunities. They should also be given some capital. The government will encourage not only prominent commodities of palm oil, but also rubber, coconut, chocolate, coffee, and so on, which are managed by people's plantations dominantly. Through the policy of agrarian reform, the government also built houses for the urban poor who are living in the slum area. Furthermore, the government will also encourage synergies between fishermen and seaweed producers with large companies to invest in seaweed processing. While opportunities-based policy including equitable tax system, manufacturing and information technology and communications, retailing and markets, financing and government budget, the government will develop policies and expenditures of the state budget, which is not only directed to develop labor-intensive projects, but also gave birth to economic activities such as building roads, bridges, or power plants. The government will find a way so that people's economic activities can also be developed. This was stated by Minister Darmin Nasution. While quality improvement-based policy of human resources, including vocational, entrepreneurship, and labor markets. Related to the education and vocational training, the minister said, the government will overhaul massively so that vocational schools or SMK not only produce a diploma but also a certificate of competence, so that if a student was forced to drop out of school, he can find a job because he has a competence certificate. Listener, that was today's focus.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. The spokesman of Indonesia, Minister of Foreign Affairs Armand Hartanasir, regretted the U.S. government immigration policy. Earlier, the government of the U.S. under President Donald Trump has prohibited citizens from Muslim-majority countries, namely Syria, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, and Libya. Right Hand in Fin Grab Indonesia will make $700 million U.S. dollars investment, or around 9.1 trillion rupiah, in the next 4 years. The Australian budget airline Tiger Air has permanently removed Bali from its travel routes affected immediately due to its issue of regulatory approvals. Indonesian state-owned port operator PT Pelabuhan Indonesia Pelindo 1 is accelerating the development of Kuala Tanjung Port in North Sumatra. The University of Brawijaya in Malang is ready to conduct the cooperation of agriculture research with separate university in Kazakhstan. As countries are connected by the Indian Ocean, Indonesia and Sri Lanka have a great potential for bilateral cooperation in various fields.
Sri Lanka is a strategic partner country for Indonesia, which continues to grow in various sectors, including economy. To develop economies, Sri Lankan government invites Indonesian investors and business people to come and invest in the country. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will visit three African countries, namely Egypt, South Africa, and Mozambique from February 5th until 8, 2017. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Kaliwonan tradition, so stay tuned. Listener, Pangandaran is one of region cities which become a leading tourism destination in West Java province. No wonder indeed, many tourists visit there. The regency has at least 8 exotic beaches. The famous one which mostly visited is Pangandaran Beach. There are natural baths, natural reserves, as well as natural caves. There is also a tradition, art and culture of the people, which still continue to be preserved. This is certainly adds to the appeal of Pangandaran Beach. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you to a unique tradition of the local people of Pangandaran, which is still preserved until nowadays, namely the Kaliwonan tradition. Kaliwonan tradition is bathing tradition of toddlers, which was inherited by the people hereditarily in the Pangandaran. The tradition never shifted, both the procedure or practice, despite the change of times. This traditional ceremony is usually done every Friday. Why on Friday? Because, in view of Islamic teaching, Friday is a special day. While in view of culture, Friday is the day where angels and the spirits of the ancestors will give blessing to their children and grandchildren, especially for those who carry out the ancestors' tradition. Listener, Kaliwonan toddler tradition is believed as one of the traditions to acquire blessing for children for their life safety, physical health, and have a positive aura appeal. Kaliwonan bathing tradition by using flower water has been recited prayers while massaging the baby in a certain part of body by reciting incantations. The water is prepared with some provisions including ancient coins made of metal balm with a picture of Queen Wilhelmina and sacred natural stone. In addition, it is also prepared a variety of foods and water in a bottle, then taken back to their respective homes. Listener, in addition to often blessing the Kaliwonan toddlers, tradition is usually used as a means of gathering of residents and sharing experiences between mothers for care of their children, so that the tradition is socially beneficial. In addition, the local people also believed the child who become an object in Kaliwonan tradition has a good behavior. Listener, that was the Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kaliwonan Tradition. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and goodbye.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, recently Bekasi in West Java province has been bullied by netizen. The bully also becomes a trending topic in several social media. The good thing is that bullied becomes an inspiration for two middle school students to develop a digital application to know Bekasi better. And today's miscellany will inform you about a digital application called Bekasi Gaya. Technology development has grown rapidly and undeniably. Almost all countries in the world, including Indonesia, in the city or village, have used gadget to search information, location, or tourism destination. Gadget can also be used to introduce culture, culinary, and public service. Bekasi Guide is one of the example of an Android application. It gives information that people need to know about Bekasi. This application is made by two vocational school students of Telesandi Telecommunication in Tambun, Bekasi, Lutfir Arkam and Arif Wardana. The students joined Syntax Telesandi team. Lutfir and Arif made this application to participate in Innovation and Entrepreneurship Festival 2016 that was held by the Indonesian Education Ministry of Software Creation Sector. Apparently, Bekasi Guide has managed to be one of national top 10 software creation projects. Unfortunately, the application cannot reach the top 3. Until now, the students are still developing Bekasi Guide. This application has been started being developed since August 2016. Bekasi Guide application informs so many things about Bekasi. In addition, this application can also search location. The contents available in this application are name and location of schools in Bekasi, traditional food, tourism sites in Bekasi, culture and also public facilities such as mall, supermarket, public transportation route, worship places, cafe, restaurants, and hospitals. Besides many variety contents, the designs of the application is eye-catchy. The glimpse of stars in the sky colors the front page of the application. The kinds of design was inspired from netizens who bullied Bekasi that is like a planet. The Bekasi Guide application gives high-quality pictures, fresh colors, and light performance of application. Meanwhile, the logo of the application is chairs with different kinds of colors. Lutfir said, the logo describes a happy place. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about a new application called Bekasi Guide. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to our regular segment Music Corner. To begin our segment, let's enjoy a pop dangdut song released in 2013 entitled Ajari Aku Tuhan, sang by one of Indonesia's phenomenal dangdut singer, Zaskia Gotik.
Bersama
Listener, you've just heard Ajari Aku Tuhan by Zaskia Gotik. Zaskia Gotik is popular in the Indonesian dangdut music world. The daughter of Surkiani was known for her unique wobble, which was called Goyang Itik or Itik Wobble. The short form Goyang Itik or Gotik later became a popular name for Zaskia. At first, Zaskia sang in villages for celebrations with basic accompaniment and for very movies. Zaskia Gotik, who has been singing since she was 5 years old, never felt bored singing for villages. She was always motivated to keep singing and to entertain her dangdut fans. She was also motivated to continue singing in order to support her family financially. She has her own unique wobble and a beautiful voice. Due to her persistence, today, Zaskia Gotik is one of Indonesia's most famous female dangdut singers. Her songs receive a warm welcome from music lovers, such as her title Tarik Selimut. Listeners, here is another song for you, just in her well-known hit Tarik Selimut.
Jam 7, jam 8, jam 9, kau tak datang. Jam 4, jam 5, jam 6, hari mulai petang. Jam 7, 8, 9.
Listeners, since launching her songs in 2011, Zaskia Gotik often appears on shows on Indonesian television. Nowadays, Zaskia Gotik performs a variety of shows, ranging from appearances on small stages to big events, and she has already released at least 7 albums. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to a song called Cintaku Karena Allah by Zaskia Gotik. Thank you for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Karena Allah, aku terlahir karena Allah. Seluruh nafas hidup matiku, semuanya hanya milik Allah. Seperti juga isi hatiku, telah kuserahkan untuk dirimu. Cinta dan rinduku kepadamu, semua karena cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah. Juga isi hatiku telah kuserahkan untuk dirimu. Cinta dan rinduku kepadamu, semua karena Allah. Aku sungguh cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah. Aku sungguh cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.